Hey everyone, welcome to the Foch's Corner, starring the king of UBA basketball Twitter, Coach Phony Bennett, TW. Then we've got Dougie Fresh, and I'm Mark Jerome. So, Phony, typically we talk about basketball, but right before we came on the show, you were talking about how much you're looking forward to tonight's meal.
I am. I'm making a hot pot for me and my girlfriend, and I'm excited about that. It's the little things in life. I got some pork belly all sliced up, got some ribeye, some mushrooms. We're gonna do it. It's gonna be tasty. Spicy though. I like it spicy.
And it's you said it's similar to fondue?
Yeah, I mean you're cooking it at the table in a broth. So you know, if you ever what is that restaurant that has the fondue? That's like their whole shtick. There's some chain
melting
restaurant.
Pot.
Melting pot. Like if you ever been there and you get like the court bouillon or something, it's kind of like that. It's, you know, so you put out a plate of meats and everyone cooks their own stuff for as long as they want to cook it. And it's
kind of like Korean barbecue where instead of just the meat, you get a broth instead of the grill, right? You put everything into the broth and then cooks on your.
Yeah, there's a Korean place around here where we do Korean hot pot. Yeah, that's tasty. I love the bulgogi and all that stuff.
Let's go in another direction before we talk basketball really quickly.
Okay, sure.
Best restaurants in Seville.
Man, I'm the wrong person to ask at this point. I mean, so many restaurants have changed. I mean, the cheap meals that I liked when I was there, Baja Bean and Martin's, those places are gone. There was a place like Brazil, I think it was called, at the downtown mall that was really cool. That was like the fanciest restaurant I ate at in college, and it's gone. The hibachi place is still there, right? All the athletes love.
Not Flaming Wok is gone.
Flaming Wok is gone.
Yeah.
But there's another hibachi spot nearby, right?
Yeah. Like I heard it's not as good. I don't know. I never even got to do Flaming Wok really. That was after
I was in Seville this weekend, and I walked past your spot, the white spot.
Oh wow.
That's T Dubs. That's your spot.
Yeah.
Right?
I like Little John's. Like when I go, we always go to Little John's like late at night. Yeah. I don't know.
What's your go to? T W. Little John's.
I change it up. I mean,
I never change it up.
I change it up every time. I think last time I tried the Kyle Guy, but they added that. They got the Chris Long, the Samson. Samson's great.
I was always five easy. Five easy pieces every time. Never deferred.
No. So if we had to limit, been a sub guy.
If we had to limit it to burger spots.
I like Riverside. I like Riverside. Have we been there, Mark? Have I taken you there?
No.
Oh, next time. We're going there.
And talk about spots changing up. Like and places becoming obsolete or closing down. Zen Burger was hot for a minute and it just closed down.
Wow. I heard a lot of places have closed.
Yeah, everything's closing now.
I mean, Little John's is gone. I think Ty said that last time. It's gone. I'm like, what?
Little John's, I think they were doing like a Kickstarter, not a Kickstarter, kind of GoFundMe or whatever. I haven't heard that they've closed for sure, but it was looking.
I forget. It was a tired dev said they went by and it's gone. Sign on the door to close.
Wow.
Not a burger spot, but that's I awesome. Love Roots.
Where's that? I've been there.
Oh, I love it. It's supposed to be like natural and filled with greens and rice and selection of vegetables and meats. If you want meat, you can have meat. If you don't want it, you don't have to. Chicken. It's so good.
I mean, there's so many choices now. Last time we just ate at the Renewal three meals in a row.
No, we did 10.
Yeah, well, that's right. We did 10.
10 was so good.
10 is great. 10 is really good. Aberdeen, we went to Aberdeen too. That was great.
Grant, yeah, our pregame meals were Aberdeen Barn.
Yeah, that's.
I used to spend a lot of nights studying at the Virginian.
It was unbelievable how much food we had at our pregame meal. Unbelievable.
Virginian is that's right next to Little John's, right?
It's a few spots down. It's closer to Mincer's.
Yeah. That's right. Okay.
I used to get like a latte or something with Frangelico, and so it was like a hazelnut thing. I'd sit there and study and drink that. I wasn't eating a lot of food then.
Yeah. Bodo's. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Bodo's, Mark?
Yeah, I've been two or three times, and I'm like used to New York bagels.
Right, it's different.
And there's nothing like a warm New York bagel.
I disagree.
What spot is better?
Bodo's, the best.
Dougie, you're Northeast now.
I know, but I'm not a bagel person. So my introduction to bagels was on a visit to Syracuse with a assistant coach who shall be unnamed because he had a falling out. Your boy, Marky. Anyhow, so it's not from where I'm from. Bagels don't make any sense. We're like grits and gravy, baby.
But,
you know what I'm saying?
But if you ever had a warm H&H bagel growing up?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's not me.
There's another spot, new spot, and they have these egg bagels. Oh, my gosh. I'm not eating bagels right now. I'm not eating bread. No carbs, but.
I feel like it's the density that's different between Charlottesville and New York. In New York, they're much more dense. Right? Is that right?
I don't know.
It just seems like it's a more substantial thing to eat a bagel from New York.
But they're fresh, coming right out of the oven.
I know a lot of people that they carve it out. They carve the bread out and just have the crust or whatever it's called. Me and Chris Havlicek went to Taco Bell a lot. That was like our spot back in the day.
Classic.
The one over by
now JPJ.
Yeah, by JPJ.
No.
Oh, was that even there?
No, it was over. I don't know. I'm gonna say Pan Tops, even though it's not Pan Tops. I just made that up. It's past. Like it's on Main Street. Going the other way.
You're just naming things that Charlottesville people will recognize.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's the other way off. By the McDonald's, I think. By the McDonald's, the original McDonald's off of Main Street, going deep that way. I don't know. I have no idea how we even got there. I think Anthony. I think Anthony Oliver would drive us there.
That's awesome. I mean, Charlottesville now, those places are probably not it because it's like new stuff cycling in all the time.
Yeah, there's always something new
coming. My favorite place, like the nice place, was on the downtown mall, Italian, and I'm going to mess it up. It's like Futicelli's. It's actually hard to downtown. Find. It's on a side street off the mall. Old school Italian, but it's phenomenal. And I love Italian food.
I was going to say, if listeners have recommendations.
Fellini's.
If they have recommendations, definitely shoot us some recommendations. we'll happily go to them next time we're in town and invite you along. So,
please. So Erica, who used to be
at Renewal. Yeah.
Right. At Renewal used to be a manager or kind of wine connoisseur. Now works at a place. She left Renewal. Renewal got taken over by the Marriott. The old owners sold it to Marriott, and it's going to be called something else. I forget what it's called. And it's going to be – I forget what the name it's going to be. But now she says she works at a place called Mangione's, I want to say. She said it's delicious.
Isn't Chuck Mangione?
I think so. I'm looking it up now. And then
– wait, so are we losing our spot at the Renewal then?
No. No, we'll have just different options.
Okay, cool.
I don't even know what the Renewal is.
So it's attached to the Draftsman Hotel. It's attached to the Draftsman Hotel right there in the end on Main Street, at the end of the end of the corner.
Okay, is that what used to be the Hojo? The Howard Johnson? Isn't that?
No.
No.
It's across from
Marriott, right?
Northern.
The old courtyard is across the street.
Yeah.
But this is the new Marriott Draftsman Hotel.
Gotcha.
And then
Renewal. It's nice, man. That's where I stayed.
It's a nice spot. Yeah. It's a really nice spot.
Yeah.
They treat us well, so definitely check it out.
And then Eric also said Lane Odom, his former girlfriend, owns this place called Tavern and Grocery or Grocery and Tavern or something like that, which I've been to, which was really good.
Yeah.
Tavern and Grocery, owned by a woman named Ashley. It's supposed to be, and I know she promotes that to our friend Erica.
Last time I was in town, we tried to go to Biscuitville or something. I don't know. It was closed, but everyone says it's great. I think Grant said it was amazing, and Ronnie and Johnny.
Marcus Hagen's
pretty much. I think it's called Biscuitville. I don't know.
We got to do a list. Place.
Yeah, we need a list. That sounds.
Yeah, I agree.
A very good sponsorship opportunity as well.
Right.
But, you know, not,
All the spots I used to like are closed. So if you pay us money, you're my new favorite spot.
Bojangles.
Wide open.
The number one spot, again, Bojangles. Bojangles. Right off 29. Make sure you
love me some Bojangles.
You know what? You know where we used to go with like Junior and Corey and those guys? Was Ruby Tuesday.
That oh, I used to. I spent a
I
lot
remember
of
that. Time. Barracks Road?
Yeah. Barracks yeah. Road. Yeah, Barracks, Alderman. I don't know what the names are.
As a college student?
What's that?
As a college student?
Yeah. I mean, Junior introduced me to it because it was like he liked the wings there.
And it
Junior
was brand new then. Like it literally just it was opened nice. Around then. Or
first, it was like a Marky, think about a fancy Applebee's or a fancy.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. You guys have a little Golden.
Yeah.
The first time I was ever served underage was at that Ruby Tuesdays. Me and my buddies, we've been playing ball at the courts at the new dorms by
North Slaughter, Gardens.
Yeah, they're just outdoor courts. We've been playing, so we go there for dinner, and all of a sudden I start cramping up. I get this leg cramp. So I'm standing up, and the waitress comes over, and she's like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "Yeah, it's just a cramp." She's like, "Can I get you anything, you know, an aspirin or something?" I don't remember what she said. I said, "How about some bourbon?" And she said, "Sure," and she brought it over, and we're like, I'm looking at my buddies, because I was like, you know, mostly right. But yeah, obviously kind of open. And she brings me a shot of bourbon. I'm like, holy crap, I'm drinking it.
That's great.
And I'm like looking around just waiting for somebody to bust me. I was but yeah, it was nice. That's fond great. Memories of that Ruby Tuesdays. And they're going out of business now. I mean, that one's been closed for a while, I think, but the whole restaurant is gone now.
Going out of business, I walked up and down the mall the other day, and Downtown Grill, done.
Jeez.
I don't know if you guys know that place.
Yeah.
Downtown Grill. I remember the name. I don't know.
I can't believe
that. It was one of the nicer spots.
Yeah,
if not
it was.
The nicest spot on,
yeah, two levels, you know, right?
Yeah, and we actually did our official visit there with the crew. To Kyle, Ty, and family, and DeAndre and family, and Jay Huff and family. Mama D was there.
So that crew. Is the move, I feel like the move in Charlottesville, essentially, the new restaurant gets this, generates buzz, and everyone goes to try it. So maybe a good business model would be to refresh your restaurant every 3 months.
Yeah, you're right. Remember, what's the place, Burton's? Burton's out on
Burton's Grill.
Yeah. That's Jay Willie's spot.
That is Jay Willie. That's why I know it. Jay Willie actually, let me think if he paid. I was there with Jay Willie and Dirk, and I forgot who paid. I didn't pay.
You need
basically. You ever go to McAdoo's?
McAdoo's,
yeah, great call.
Yeah.
That's a
little
mall,
I did
right?
like McAdoo's, yeah. McAdoo's was on the corner. It was upstairs, though. I don't know if it was two level, but it was upstairs.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right.
On the corner.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was two levels.
When we start a restaurant, maybe that'll be the strategy.
I will never start a restaurant.
For a chef and just have new chefs rotate in. Have a whole new menu. Everybody come try it. Don't like it? Come back next month to be a different guy.
I went to a restaurant in Arlington one time called Cities, and like every 3 months they would change their decor to a different city and their whole menu. And I only went there once, and it was L.A. at that time. You know, so it's like avocado pizza and crap like that. But it was good. But it's kind of a neat concept.
It is.
Right. If you just instead of drop an anchor and committing to one menu, just committing to always changing is always.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, that's great for the regulars, of course. Then there's something you like that you can't get anymore. But it's interesting. All right, what else we got? We can't make this an entire.
Yeah, it's not food. All right, first, I'll start. The first thing announcement is this one: Florida, Maine. UVA St. Peter's take the court November 25th, 27th in bubble, quote unquote, Bubbleville at the Mohegan Sun. It doesn't seem like there'll be fans. It says it provides a controlled environment with teams and event staff adhering to tribal government and NCAA health and safety protocols.
What does tribal mean?
Because I think it's on a reservation.
Yeah, it's on a reservation.
Oh,
Mohegan Sun. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're the prevailing law there.
Yeah.
Wow. So we're fine with the matchups, but seriously, Bubbleville has to be the laziest name for an event like this. I mean, that's the best they could do, Bubbleville?
Yeah, it's a weird, that's a really strange name.
Okay, Bubble, so Bill. Do you think Johnny Carpenter's listening to this?
No.
No.
Okay.
Why? Did he come up with the name?
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. But he was like, St. Peter's? Who's St. Peter's?
Do I need to send him the day?
Yeah, who is St. Peter's?
Yeah, I've never
heard of school in Jersey.
Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference.
Jesuit. They're not too far from you, Dougie, right?
Same, no, it's right. It's, you know who's the coach is Shaheen Holloway.
Right, Shaheen Holloway. Yeah, yeah, I know.
Yeah. No, yep. they're dangerous, yo. Don't sleep.
I mean, you never want to sleep on a team, but that's
no,
not.
No, I don't mean – I'm not talking about against us. I'm just talking about, you know, on their level. Don't
sleep. Wait, we're playing Florida, right?
Okay.
We're playing Florida.
Check this out.
We're playing St. Peter's in Florida, I believe.
Oh, okay.
He got – Shaheen Holloway got in trouble last year because if he was at Seton Hall – and you remember the dude, Torian Thompson, who went to Syracuse?
Yep, yep.
If you remember him, who played for me when he was young. He was on a team with Ty and a couple other guys, Donovan Mitchell. Apparently, Shaheen Holloway was talking to Torian about leaving Syracuse to come to Seton Hall when Shaheen Holloway was there. And then when Shaheen Holloway left Seton Hall to become the head coach at St. Peter's, he got caught.
Yikes.
And trying to woo Torian away from Syracuse.
Yeah, I'm sure that never happens.
Yeah. Well, he got caught and got suspended for the first couple of games. So he actually.
And that's got to be really. Yeah, that's just really hard to police, right? It's like.
It is.
How do you can't compensate with a guy that's already on a team, but if you have a relationship, it's just bizarre.
I gotta believe that somebody from Syracuse may have said something.
Yeah, overheard it.
How do you know? Yeah. Or somebody had to complain, right?
Right, and if the teams aren't doing that, they're doing it through back channels. I mean, there's always ways to get in touch with guys and stuff. And I mean, it's, you know, when a guy announces he's transferring and 3 days later he announces his new school, which is the school that everyone knew he was going to, you know, that conversation didn't start the day he announced his transfer.
That was a cool conversation on the Jay Willie show about it with all the guys, which is going to air in here in 20 minutes. But that was cool hearing everyone talk about that.
Yeah, that was fun. Those are good guys. They're clowns.
And then next topic I had was Fresh's top 10 football who's who can hoop. So here's his list. Larry Holmes, Terry Kirby, Matt Blunden, Aaron Mundy, Will Bryce, Chris Slade, Herman Moore, Percy Ellsworth, Mark Dixon, Mark Cook, Sean Moore, Tyrone Davis, Tim Moss. This thing got a lot of engagement.
Yeah, it was good. I thought about it. It came to me quickly, by the way. Obviously, it goes back to only my time and nobody else is allowed on it. I kind of thought I should have left the guys who actually played basketball in Virginia off to be a little more authentic, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because they obviously can play.
Right. It's not like a question. But the I'll tell you, the one guy that people won't realize is Mark Dixon. So Marky, and Chris, you'll remember him. He was an offensive lineman, total monster, All-American type, freak athlete. And he came to Slaughter one time and just against with us. And I'm going to leave the guy unnamed, but he absolutely gave it to somebody who was a starter and a real guy on our team.
Wow. That's awesome.
I mean, his skills were like insane. Just a natural athlete, and you know, like Kevin McHale up and under. And he's not that tall, 6'5" or 6'4", but he was just a straight natural athlete.
Yeah, how tall was Ty Davis? I mean, he was a tall dude, right?
I'm gonna guess 6'5", 6'4".
Yeah,
I was thinking 6'4".
Yeah, he always seemed kind of. Almost built like a basketball player. Like,
well, are those days done now of two sport athletes? Like, especially football, basketball.
They won't like, let them anymore.
That's pretty much done, right? That's a shame.
Yeah,
I don't think the coaches like it, and guys that want to go pro are going to be directed to pick one.
Yeah, Charlie Ward the best in the ACC two sport athlete for at least football basketball?
Hard to argue, right? Did he win the Heisman in football?
Yeah, Heisman, and then NBA career.
Right, and then played. Well,
I'll tell you what,
12 dude, years in the league, kind of hard to beat that.
Whatever sport Terry Kirby decided to focus on,
right? He was, yeah, he was a freak athlete. I guess that's the end of that era, right? Because like Allen Iverson wanted to play two sports. I guess we had Dion and Kenny Lofton.
We could have had. I hesitate to say his name, but Ronald Curry.
Or we not had. Could've. We had.
We him. Thought. We thought we had him. And then
we had him.
Sneaker. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a. I guess those days are over, which is kind of sad. Yeah. That conversation with Terry Kirby, I brought this thing back out. Do you remember this photo?
Yep.
Is that Bo?
Bo yeah. Jackson with yeah. the pads and that. We used to put Terry Kirby's head on it because we always thought he was Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson is the athlete that makes me sound like that old guy and be like, you kids just don't understand.
No.
That he was so...
He's
just
good at everything.
Incredible. Like you just watch him as an athletic, the platonic ideal of an athlete or something. I mean, just amazing.
Yeah. Do you remember, am I remembering this correctly, that he caught like a ball on the warning track in right field and fired it from the warning track home on maybe it was either no bounce or one bounce?
Yeah, yeah. There's like a play, and he may have gone off the wall for that, and then yeah, he was, man.
He was a freak. Insane. He was an absolute freak.
And unfortunately, his body failed him. You know, with modern training techniques and even surgical techniques, unfortunately, I wonder what kind of career someone like him could have today.
He had like a freak hip injury, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
some guy like horse collared him, and then.
Yeah, if you watch the thing, they say what actually ended up injuring him is because his muscles were stronger than his bones, because the force that he was able to put on the bone, the hip socket, whatever it's called, locked in.
Wow,
that's surprising. We could rebuild and make him better, stronger.
Bionic Jackson. I mean, yeah, that. It is like of stuff of legend, right? And like you think about it now, it just seems unreal. Like someone would play both sports at that level. That's kind of crazy. Yeah. And then Dion too.
Yeah, so many great athletes over the years. Barry Sanders is another one where I just don't think people understood how good he was, or people these days like you just So.
Yeah, the old man talk is like Barry Sanders, Mike Tyson, early Tiger Woods. Yeah. Kids today have no clue. Those people were. And then, of course, music too. Michael Jackson and Prince, that era, that whole era for whatever reason. It's the stuff of legend.
Yeah, but yeah, no, it's true.
I think it's because of no social media. I really think it is. No social media, you just got what they put out. And then your mind kind of just had to fill in the blanks, and they all were like heroes because, like, you didn't know any better, basically.
<Right. laughs> Just 30 years from now, are people going to be talking about the genius of Cardi B?
Yeah, unlikely.
I gotta hope not.
Chris, do you know what WAP means, the song?
Yeah, my 15-year-old daughter just told me. She told me it's waffles and pancakes.
Boom. Nailed it again.
Got it.
By the way, I ever told you guys my Bo Jackson story, talking about athletic feats?
No.
He was on the AA, I think, Birmingham Barons. And my mentor growing up had season tickets to the Huntsville Stars games. So AA baseball, right? Bo gets up. I'm on the third base side, looking right at the third baseman, you know, second row, whatever. And the redneck behind me yelling, Bo, you suck, you suck. Bo hits a rifle shot to right field, single. He's on second base in about 3 seconds. Like a routine single, he's on second base. The guy didn't even throw it. Next pitch, Bo steals third, dives right at us. Like I was like scared, like a bull coming at me. And so the redneck behind us, you know, he's probably drinking, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, all right, Bo, if you're so damn tough, why don't you steal home? The pitcher's in the stretch. He pitches the ball. Bo is at home plate before the ball gets there. It was two or three pitches, home run, you know, essentially a home run by him. It was amazing. Amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
And I was there to see it. So
young people, look up Bo Jackson YouTubes.
Tecmo Bowl. Next one, UVA Villanova trying to work out their home and home, I guess. And then you commented it should happen every year.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a I think I speak for probably a lot of Virginia fans in that we really respect Villanova as a program. Jay Wright seems to be upstanding guy, seems to be doing things right and all that. Doesn't have the problems that a lot of programs do. And I like the style of basketball that they play. And obviously they've been very successful at it. And that's a series that should happen all the time. And look, it's two good looking coaches. I mean, everyone can enjoy that. You're not looking at the sidelines and seeing Bob Huggins standing there. I mean, you want to see good looking guys. So, you know, there's a little something for everybody. All I'm saying.
So out of those two, yeah, Tony Bennett, Jay Wright. I don't know. The Jay Wright thing, to me, he's got a little more of a slick city slicker kind of look that's like used car salesman, but also like the classiest used car salesman.
Right. He makes it work. Like maybe he sells used exotics.
Right.
What's it going to take to get you into this Ferrari today?
I mean, he seems like an, you know, incredible guy, just like on the edge of if a scandal broke out, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not surprised. I even look at him.
but right now, as far as I know, I mean, there's no reason to think he's dirty or anything. And he always, I mean, he's respectful. And his teams play, everything. I like everything I know about the program. So don't ruin it for me, Mark. Don't be like, actually. Out in Minneapolis,
I saw him at the bar, and he was. No, we're gonna.
I could do an actually, but I won't.
I won't take the boomer. I won't.
Let's keep it clear.
Yeah.
The next one, Greg Marshall. You know his all these allegations of Greg Marshall, whatever the way he's treated players. You also tweeted on this one, Bart totally underscore T bum said, "How confident are you that your favorite team's head coach isn't a psycho?"
Yeah, I mean, Tony. I mean, well, Mark is going to know this much better than me. But more broadly, and I asked if we could talk about this because coaches seem to get away with a lot of stuff that me as an employee, as a supervisor, whatever, couldn't necessarily get away with.
Absolutely.
And Mark, you're an actual coach. Talk to me about that, just as far as the coach's conduct and how that compares with any other profession.
If you win as a coach, you're going to get away with murder, and Greg Marshall got up for years, right? Do you guys remember T-Dubs and Dougie when we had Jeff Goodman on the podcast?
Yeah.
He was talking about the transfers, all the transfers happening. He said somebody's going to come out about Greg Marshall.
Right, and he said he was going to write it.
And he was going to write something about it.
And he did. Yeah.
Seven guys transferring has got to alert people. Like, wait a minute, something has to be wrong, right? And so not only was he really mean and abusive to his players, he was also that way to his assistant coaches, right? And you can't get away with, excuse me, now. In the past, Gary Williams, from what I heard, used to berate his assistant coaches.
Bob Knight had made a.
I was talking to someone. I was on a call with some people, and this one guy goes, "Oh man, I'd love to play for Bobby Knight." Like, really?
Right.
Like, why? You want somebody that's gonna potentially gonna choke you, who's gonna rip the love of the basketball out of your heart, who's going to yell at you and yell at you? Well, he didn't. Well, Isaiah Thomas played there, and so and so, and they went off. First of all, yes, there are always gonna be a few loyal people.
Right.
Also, maybe he didn't treat Isaiah Thomas the same way because Isaiah Thomas was so good, and some
our
people,
player, even those people
who are, I guarantee you, he did not treat Isaiah Thomas
exactly. Exactly.
Well, right? I just wonder what makes sports special that as the person in charge that you are just allowed to be that petulant, allowed to be that obnoxious or even obscene. Like, why do we tolerate that in a coach when we see the antics on the sidelines? If you saw a boss doing that in an office, he's meeting with HR within the hour.
It's a great question, right? And also, you know, you see it when kids are young and parents let their coaches get away with it. I was tough. I didn't ever put my hands on anybody. I never, like, outside of my kids, I was rough on them, but I wasn't out of control and abusive to other people's kids.
Right.
And it's not okay even to do it to your own kids. And if people want an environment where they think someone's going to help their kids along the way. Right. And then to also, when you get to the highest level of college, am I going to buck the system? Am I going to say to somebody as a player, well, you know, that coach as a player, am I going to report that coach who treated me horribly and risk not getting playing time and risk going to reporting this guy and the reports at H to the athletic director may not even be heard. They may just dismiss me. It's a risk. Right. And it's happened for years. This Craig Marshall's not the first. Bobby Knight, look what Bobby Knight did it for years.
Oh, yeah. And everyone knew. I mean, we watched it happen live. And
there was video of him choking that one kid, right? I can't remember the kid's name.
I think that's finally what did it in, right? Was that the final straw? It wasn't throwing a bear across the court.
No, it wasn't. It was his treatment, I think, to the administration, like to the athletic director. I think that's what it was, where the athletic director was finally like, I'm done. Like, this is over. I don't even think of choking player and screaming and throwing the chair and acting the way he and continuously behaving the way he did on the sidelines, which was an embarrassment to the school, to the team, to just college basketball. His behavior, none of that did him in, right?
Right.
But then you've got a couple of guys like that, but it doesn't happen nearly as much anymore. It can't. Right, players will be like, "I'm done. I'm out."
Right, and those are the guys that we're talking about that got fired. I mean, the line of behavior is still so different that we all accept that I accept. You know, I watch it, and I'm I don't think Coach K should be fired for his antics on the sidelines, but that still wouldn't be acceptable in any regular workplace.
It's an intense environment. I don't think you can call it the same type of climate as a typical workplace, right?
Well, and that's what I'm trying to get at, I guess, specifically. Why is it because things are more time urgent? There's more urgency to things happening there. Is that it, or?
It's an emotional game,
right? And the physicality of just sports in general that sometimes brings out.
Yep. Right, football, basketball, hockey. Like, those are intense sports that just are fast-paced, going back and forth, quick reactions, emotional, something that you've practiced and planned for all week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and you're going over and over and over it, and then somebody makes a mistake. Right. And then it's like, really, dude? We've done this 50 times. How could you completely make this mistake?
And some people are motivated by that.
But at the same time, let's be real. I'm trying to go through the motions and understand there's so many things happening at once, right? The coach is screaming, the fans are screaming, the opposing coach screaming, I got to worry about the referees. And in all that, there's someone physically trying to stop me from getting from point A to B, right? It's not like I'm walking to my typewriter and someone's trying to block my path. Right. Or write an article or a story, right, or send a letter to whatever.
You haven't been to my office. No, I'm kidding.
Could you imagine if we had people playing defense at the office, just people whose job it is to stop you from accomplishing whatever your task is? That would be
such a chaotic environment. It's like being like in Times Square, and you have to make a quick decision almost every time you have the ball, right? So when you see guys that are successful at it, and you see guys that have like a point guard that maybe has two turnovers in a game, is placed 25, 30 minutes, that's remarkable. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
You have,
that's crazy.
And when we always talk about this with Bennett, like he really doesn't get rattled. He doesn't curse too often in practice, right? I've heard every once in a while.
Sure.
He doesn't get too intense, but there is some level of frustration. And what's your strategy for dealing with frustration? What's your strategy for dealing with something when it doesn't go right? Right. Or when your team loses, right? How do you handle that? right? We even talked about, look at Jay Willie on the Jay Willie show and other interviews. 2 years ago, when they lost at halftime to, when they were down against UMBC, he was going nuts, right? And the kids had a hard time responding.
Right.
When they were down against, what's the school, the first game?
Gardner-Webb,
he was much more relaxed. And the guys were much, it trickled down to the guys, and it influenced the guys to come out in the second half and be relaxed, right? Coaching is so important and valuable, just when you're talking about the mental approach and keeping your team calm.
Right.
And it's a big difference between having a Greg Marshall, obviously, I'm not saying anything, it's an understatement, right? Between a Greg Marshall and a Greg Marshall / Bobby Knight versus,
going, I mean, crazy. You're talking
about complete opposites with Tony. Yeah. Total opposites.
Well, I think what, you know, Jay Willie and Coach Bennett, other guys too, like, players will take on the personality of the coach. If the coach is over there going nuts, you might go nuts, right? Like, whatever the case is. If he's chill, you're like, all right, we're good. Right. The one thing about Virginia basketball I've noticed in the last, whatever it is, 4, 5, 6 years, how calm they are down the stretch. When we're all fans watching the game, we're like, dude, you're down by 9 with a minute left. And they just handle it. They beat Louisville that time. And whatever the game, they're so calm and they're so sure. And that comes from Tony. For sure.
Yeah. Well, and last season, that was the difference between a winning season and a losing season. I mean, in that stretch at the end, how many of those games were they down in with 5 minutes to go or something?
And the point guards too, right? London, Ty, Dev.
Yeah, but
they were easily shaken, those guys.
Well, that's the extension always of the coach, right, Mark? Yeah, they always say the point guard is, but he's just so, like, they're so sure and trusting of the system / the coach, whatever. So. That's my take.
It's a great point, Dougie. It is. And you know, when you have a coach who's always complaining about the referees, the kids start taking on that personality and feel like take the victim role.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
No, it's rare where someone, where a referee is going to penalize you because he doesn't like the way you look, right? Or, you know, maybe a referee has got money on the game. That's a rare, rare case.
Right. And I don't know
like that.
The one thing I always appreciate as a player, though, is if my coach defended me on that front.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When I got cheated in my mind, and if he defended me, I'm all right, we're good.
Yeah,
but not
like justifies it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. You need someone in your corner. You need your coach in your corner.
I think we're going to have to call it this week. We have our YouTube premiere.
Oh, gotcha. All right, guys. Well, enjoyed talking.
Absolutely.
Food with you. Right, we got a bye week next week.
Bye week next week. So we'll see you in 2 weeks. Good luck on your surgery.
Coach, thank you. Best of luck.
Yeah, best of luck, man.
Thank you. I'm hoping not to miss any games. I might be tweeting during a football game on Oxy. We'll see. But
oh, boy. No bourbon, all Oxy.
Difference.
Yeah, no, it's an either or. I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid.
TW, how do I watch this Jay Willie show?
On YouTube. I'll send you the link.
All right. It always pops up on like 4 different things. Huh?
All right.
All right. Over there.
Peace out.
Bye, y'all.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Jerome off the glass, count it, and one, Jim Jerome.